Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I am your host, Mark Tapson. Thank you yet again for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Before I forget, please take a moment to subscribe to the Right Take if you haven't already, so that you can keep up with the conversations we are having here with important thinkers, writers, pundits, scholars, and storytellers. And if you like what you hear, a positive review would be greatly appreciated. There is no guest today. Guests will be back resuming next week when I have film producer, pro-life activist, and author Jason Jones, and we will be talking about his book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. But for today, I'm flying solo. So, let the ranting begin. You don't expect much but lunacy from the progressive website Salon.com, and this last week they did not disappoint with an absolutely hate-mongering smear piece by unhinged feminist Amanda Marcotte titled, "Men Punching Random Women in New York City, A Desperate Last Gasp of the Male Rage Fueling MAGA." You heard that right. Marcotte blames a rash of random violence on the streets of one of the bluest cities in the Union on the so-called male rage that she claims drives the Make America Great Again movement. Let's break this down to not only get to the truth about this disturbing phenomenon, but also to expose the vicious ideological hatred that fuels Amanda Marcotte and her ilk at Salon and elsewhere in the mainstream media. First, Marcotte correctly notes that some men are sucker-punching random women on the streets of New York City. CNN reports that dozens of women have discussed being victims on social media, and they've formally interviewed six of them. At least a half dozen arrests have been made. Now, do I even need to say that this is unconscionable behavior in a civil society? The problem is that we are losing our civil society. We have a society now that is breaking down in all sorts of ways, but certainly in the respect that under Democrat rule, law and order are being intentionally dismantled to allow for a surge in unpunished criminal behavior, ranging from the decriminalization of looting and shoplifting to the release of felons back onto the streets, thanks to no-bail policies and so-called restorative justice. More and more often, we are witnessing shocking instances of savage mob brutality, particularly among young people, which is often then recorded on cell phones by some in the mob to be uploaded to the internet for the vicarious thrills of violence voyeurs. Even in civil society, of course, there's always an undercurrent of criminal savagery, but I think we all feel today that things are different, that our culture is breaking down, that we are being overrun by chaos, and I think we all understand that this is being facilitated intentionally by the radicals in power to keep the populace in a sense of disequilibrium and uncertainty, living in fear and suspicion, and easier to control and manipulate. But back to the specific trend of the random violence against women in New York City. Amanda Marcotte points out in her Salon opinion piece that there's much that is unknown, including how often this is happening, how many people are involved, or whether it's at all coordinated. And yet somehow, based on absolutely no evidence at all, Marcotte is certain of who was responsible and why. She notes that the victims were targeted when they were on their phones, or reading tablets, or daydreaming, or otherwise distracted. Whatever they were doing, she writes, they were just living their lives, and that, it seems, is what enraged their assailants. She writes, quote, "The impetus is always the same. The eyes of a woman are directed at someone or something that is not him, and he is indignant over it. So he will make sure she has no choice but to look at him, either by getting in her face or, in these alarming New York cases, punching her. If he cannot capture her adoring gaze, well, he will make her stare at him in fear," unquote. Really? Marcotte has zero evidence that the perpetrators of this random violence were enraged by women just living their lives. On the contrary, it's more likely that the perps were carrying out planned crimes of opportunity, by which I mean that they set out to sucker-punch victims, gambling that there will be little to no legal or societal consequences, and they simply waited for the right victim to present herself. The perpetrators behind these random assaults on women are the same kinds of thugs behind the nearly identical savage trend known as the knockout game, in which random strangers, always white, are sucker punched in public settings, often knocked unconscious or worse by young black males. The victims were targeted because the left has infected the culture with a racial animus based on the lie that blacks suffer under a white supremacist systemic racism in America. The knockout game was a racial hate crime, but never treated as such because in the two-tier system of progressive justice, there is no such thing as black-on-white hate crime. The painfully obvious point that Marcotte ignores is that the New York sucker punchers selected their victims not because the men were infuriated at women for not paying attention to them, as she puts it, but because the women were distracted by cell phones or daydreaming or whatever. They were targeted, at least partially, because they lacked situational awareness, just like the victims of the knockout game. Being oblivious to the potential danger of your surroundings, especially on the streets of New York City, marks you as an easy target for predators. And yes, being a woman heightens your chances of victimization because women, young or old, are less likely to be a physical threat to an assailant. Criminals, like predators of all species, pick targets that are distracted and less physically imposing. That's simply how they operate. Marcotte's claim that, quote, the nation is having a moment of increasingly unhinged male fury at women for daring to have lives that are centered around something other than catering to a man's every whim, unquote, is absolutely baseless. Where is her evidence that America is in the grip of a particularly vile tsunami of misogyny, or that American men expect female strangers to stop on the street, drop what they're doing, and cater to their every whim, as she puts it? There is none. Speaking for myself and every man I know, I've never been overtaken by violent rage when a woman passes me on the street talking on her phone instead of stopping to cater to my every whim. Yes, there are men who harass women with catcalls or other such stupid behavior, but they are a small minority of losers, not a sign that our country is misogynistic. On the contrary, the only unhinged fury evident here is clearly Marcotte's, and it is directed at men. Specifically men who vote for Trump. She claims, again, without a shred of evidence, that the former president and the patriotic movement inspired by his Make America Great Again slogan are behind, quote, an upswell of loud male entitlement shouting at us from every corner, unquote. The rise of MAGA is fueled by misogyny, Marcotte declares, without offering any support for this stupid lie. In fact, the rise of MAGA was and continues to be fueled by the devastation wreaked in America by progressivism, by an America-hating Democrat Party ruled by radicals hell-bent on deconstructing this country and fundamentally transforming it. Americans who love this country want to stop that destruction and make America great again. That's what drives support for Trump. Whatever you may think of him, and I have my own issues with certain aspects of Trump's character, there's no doubt that unlike his Democrat opposition, he loves this country and wants to reclaim our position as the preeminent world superpower. Claiming that the MAGA movement is fueled by misogyny is a demonstrably hateful lie. But remember, this is a woman who wrote a book with the unhinged, foul-mouthed title, Troll Nation: How the Right Became Trump-Worshipping Monsters Set on Rat-Fucking Liberals, America, and Truth Itself. Pardon my language. In her Salon article, Marcotte then aims her condescending barbs at the male fans of Jordan Peterson, of all people, whose call to young men to reject the online addictions of gaming and porn and to get their lives together has nothing to do with misogyny and everything to do with helping young men to find purpose and meaning in their lives. Marcotte doesn't want that for young men. She also tries to link the street violence to, quote, male bellyaching about the Barbie movie and Taylor Swift, unquote, and to the rise of trad wives, a movement that perpetually angry feminists like Marcotte deeply resent because progressive misery loves company, and feminists hate it when other women find joy and fulfillment in marriage and motherhood. She also predictably blames pro-life pundits, as she puts it, for, quote, tricking women into having babies before they're ready, unquote. In other words, before they have achieved high-powered career success, at which point they're now in their mid-40s, like the childless Amanda Marcotte, long past their childbearing prime. She claims, again without offering any evidence, that the sucker punching is, quote, a last gasp of men who, unable to justify their sexism in any way, must resort to brute force, unquote. Her entire piece stems from her feminism-fevered perception of Trump-supporting men as woman-hating losers. I would wager a decade's salary that Marcotte doesn't count even one American male patriot among her male acquaintances. I'd be willing to bet that the men in her circle consist solely of soft-on-crime, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa-supporting male feminists who have contempt for America and their own self-described toxic masculinity. If she did know any conservative men, or if she had any intellectual honesty, she would be forced to admit that the least likely American demographic in the country to commit cowardly random violence against women on the street is white conservative males. The most likely is the savage Democrat-supporting criminal underclass that has been empowered by a pro-crime Democrat administration. This is the same administration, not uncoincidentally, which has thrown women under the bus by prioritizing trans men over the rights and safety of girls and women, which has empowered sex traffickers by throwing open our southern border, and which has imported a whole new level of sexual predators and pedophiles through unchecked illegal immigration. Marcotte concludes her misandrist screed by proudly declaring that women, quote, aren't just suffering in silence, but are telling their stories without shame or self-blame, unquote, as if complaining about their victimization in TikTok videos constitutes some kind of feminist victory. So instead of getting to the real heart of this issue by denouncing Democrat pro-crime policies like defunding the police, she makes the ugly accusation that conservative men are the problem. This, like feminism itself, does not help protect her fellow women at all from the lawlessness and societal chaos engendered by progressivism. Again, the kind of random terroristic violence against women, or against anyone, that is going on in New York is unconscionable in a free civil society, but it is the left-wing powers that be that are intentionally facilitating the collapse of law and order and encouraging this ugly anarchic behavior. And yet it is the man-hating left-wing ideologues at Salon who want to exploit that civilizational collapse to demonize the very conservative men who would be the first to protect women in society from the lawless. If they truly cared about putting an end to misogyny and violence, they would get behind the movement to make America great again, instead of actively dismantling a civil society that values law and order and the protection of women. And that's the right take on that. Thanks for listening. And again, please take a moment to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already, so you can keep up with my rants like this, as well as the conversations we're having here with important thinkers, writers, pundits, scholars, and storytellers. If you like what you hear, a positive review would be greatly appreciated. Be seeing you. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.